First Corinthians chapter 3 this morning. First Corinthians chapter 3, this is the second lesson in our series on the countdown, the biblical lesson on prophecy. The memory verse for this week is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, if you'll write that down. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. If we are living for the Lord and seeking to fulfill his will, we will look forward to the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ, and we should. I don't know if I necessarily pray for the rapture to come on a regular basis. I guess if we look at the world around us, that it would be one of our prayer requests, even come, Lord Jesus. I'm sure that it's going to be an overwhelming experience. Just being in heaven is going to be overwhelming. And we will be in awe of being in the presence of the Lord. And I'm sure there will be some nervous anticipation involved in all that. I was just trying to think about what it would be like to stand before the throne of God and be judged. And just let it flow. It's going to happen. So we need to prepare ourselves. And it would be better to be excited about it than it would be to be fretted and worried about it. It's just mind-boggling to me. What's it going to be like? What's Jesus going to say? How much is going to get burned up? How much is going to get refined? Am I doing a good job of the Lord or am I not? You know, the Bible says that we will be rewarded for being good. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be great. We should strive to be perfect or great, but the Lord says that the Bible says that he will reward the good man. Will reward us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we should look forward with anticipation to the rapture and to the judgment seat of Christ, but it should also put our feet to the fire to live our life for the Lord and finish strong and in this evil day. So let's go to the text there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The first statement on your workbook is, you know that the next event on God's calendar of prophecy is the rapture of the church. We know that the next event on God's calendar of prophecy is the rapture of the church. Immediately following the rapture of the church, believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There'll be the reunion with the saved that have gone before us in the clouds, and then we'll go to heaven. And then we'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. Revelation 22, verse 21. A lot of scripture in today's lesson, so if you want to write down the scripture references, that'd be good. Revelation 22, 21. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. Why is the judgment seat of Christ sometimes referred to as the Bema Seat? Have you heard preachers refer to the judgment seat of Christ as the Bema Seat? I always wondered what that was. Well, Brother Allen explains it to us in the Sunday School lesson this morning, so I'll read it to you. In ancient Greece, once every 3 years, there would be a contest of athletes. The contest would last for 3 weeks. In Corinth, Center Square, and in Athens Arena, each had a raised platform called a Bema, where winners would be honored. After competing in the games, winners would stand on the bema before the judge to receive their reward. The bema was a place where judgment was declared. At the judgment seat of Christ, it is Christ who will be elevated on his throne. We will come and stand before the Savior, and he will judge our works. And think about that. We're going to come before the Bema Seat of Christ, and He is going to judge our works. Now, this is supposed to be an opportunity for reward. But if we do not serve Christ with the right motive, the right attitude, or with the proper effort, we can suffer loss. Right now, as we serve Christ, our motive matters, our attitude matters, and our level of effort matters. I don't think we'll be rewarded well if we just serve God out of duty. You know, there's a sense of duty, I think, in every Christian that we need to do something for the Lord, but I don't think that's the proper motivation. I think as we get deeper into this lesson, you'll see that the proper motivation is to serve out of a heart of love. A love for God, a love for the God that died for us on the cross of Calvary, that bore our sins in His body, that died so that we could have eternal life. A God that is gracious and merciful, long-suffering and persevering. Think of all that happened. I don't know what happened. I tell you this all the time. I always think, like a person that was saved out of a life of sin. I don't know what it's like to think like a person that was grew up in church and was saved at a young age. But still, in the history of your family, of your third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh generation Christian, God had to do a great work in someone's life to get you to the point of salvation. How many things did God orchestrate, plan out, and prepare so you could be saved? Whether we're your first generation Christian or not, think about the things that took place in your life that God put the people and the situations that God put in your life to bring conviction, to bring conversion, to bring you to a place where you would receive Christ as your Savior. He did that on purpose. He did that out of love. He did that because no man, He doesn't want anybody to perish in the flames of heaven. And so we should serve God, yes, out of duty, but the motivation should be primarily love. We need to do our best to serve the Lord because His work is the most important thing that we can do in life. Because the work that we do for the Lord is eternal. The work that we do on earth is going to be burned up someday. Everything we do on earth, everything we leave on earth, everything we build on earth will be destroyed when God makes a new heaven and a new earth. But everything we do for Christ is eternal. Every part that we have in the salvation of a soul or the discipleship of a person or the encouragement of a prayer or whatever we do to be a blessing and a help to other people, for the Lord will reap eternal benefits in heaven and make a difference eternally in somebody's life. The first point is the judgment seat of Christ is a judgment of our works. It's also the second statement on your book, in your book there. The judgment seat of Christ is a judgment of our works. That's number two in your book. The judgment seat of Christ is a judgment of our works. It's a personal judgment. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that every man's work shall be made manifest. We're going to stand before the Lord by ourselves. We're not going to have anybody there to back us up. No representation. It's going to be God on the throne and us before Him by ourselves. So we need to do a work for God individually. We work together with husbands and wives and families and churches all work together, but we're not going to be judged as a church. We're not going to be judged as a family. We're not going to be judged as a couple. We're going to be judged as an individual. Our work. This is not a judgment to be determined whether we are saved or not. Some have the idea that the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus will decide whether or not we're truly saved. This idea is not found in Scripture. The Bible never mentions lost individuals being at the judgment seat of Christ. Those who have Jesus as their foundation will be at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. When a person is saved, they have Christ as their foundation. Therefore, this verse is referring to the saved. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This pronoun, we, is referring to believers. Once again, in Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, the Bible says, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, referring to Christians. If you are not saved, you will miss the judgment seat of Christ, and you will face the wrath of God at the great white throne judgment. Everybody is going to be judged, the saved and the lost. The saved at the judgment seat of Christ, the lost at the great white throne judgment. That we see in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. That's the truth of the judgment, of the great white throne judgment, is what brought me to conviction and conversion. When I heard the preaching of the Word of God about the great white throne judgment on August 1st, 1982, I got saved. But I didn't want to stand there. Because I knew I'd be in deep trouble, and I would be cast into eternal flames and hell forever. So that truth brought me to salvation. This judgment is a judgment of our works for Christ after we are saved. Paul is dealing with how we serve the Lord. It's how we serve God, our motivation for seeking God, our motivation, our attitude, our effort. That's what we'll be judged on. Our motive, our attitude, and our effort. The works that we are judged are works for Christ. In verse 8, Paul points out that every man will be rewarded according to his own labor. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. When Paul warns us to take heed how we are building on our foundation, he is saying, be careful how you serve Christ. There's two different types of works presented to us when our works are presented before the Lord. They will either be wood, hay, or stubble, gold, silver, or precious stone. Now remember, the verse talks about laboring together, but we're not going to be judged together. We're going to be judged individually. You're not going to be judged as a member of Faith Baptist Church. You're going to be judged as a Christian. So because you're a member of Faith Baptist Church and the work of God is well pleasing, I believe, unto the Lord at Faith Baptist Church, that's not enough to be a member. You have to be a servant. You have to be serving with the right motive, the right attitude, and the right effort. Number three, on your sheet. The quality of our work is, wait a minute, that's wrong. The quantity of our work is not being judged, but rather the quality of our work is being judged. The quantity of our work is not being judged, rather the quality of our work is being judged. You're not going to make more points with God if you're involved in a whole bunch of ministry work unless you can do them all with the proper motive, the proper attitudes, the proper effort. God will judge you for the quality of your work, not the quantity of it. I believe that we all should do our part in serving God in the ministry of the church. We should do the work that God wants us to do, but we should do the best that we can do. And if we can't do our best, then maybe we're doing too much. And as you get older, you're going to find out you can't do as much as you used to do. And you don't want the work to suffer because you're being proud that I'm doing this, 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 and this, and I don't want to give it up. God wants you to give it up if you can't do your best. Let somebody younger take the spot and fill it with a little more zeal and fervor and energy, because you know what? I'm getting tired. And I keep trying to tell myself I'm not that old. Then I look at myself, and somebody asked me the other day, how old are you? I said 62, and I thought, 62. Man, that's old. So my body tells me I'm 62, but my brain hasn't caught up with my body yet. But the point is, as we get older, we need to turn the work over to the younger people, and they need to be ready to take the work. Mm-hmm. And they need to be chomping at the bit. They need to be ready to step in. There should be people waiting and already been with preacher, and already been approved. It's in that, when a position opens up, I'm ready. That's how it should be. But I'm speaking for the people of my generation. If we can't do our best, we need to step down and let somebody else do it. Because the work is important. God's work is the most important work in our life. And we need to do our best for the Lord. And if we're working in several different ministries and we can't do our best, we're going to have to cut back so we can do our best. Some works will not survive the judgment. That's the wood, hay, and stubble. Works that are not pleasing to the Lord will not survive the judgment. The Bible makes it very clear that not all work done in the name of the Lord is pleasing. Number four, in your book. Number four, if we serve the Lord without a heart of charity, which is agape love, our work will not survive judgment. If we serve the Lord without a heart of charity, agape love, our work will not survive judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me. Number five in your book. We need to do good works for God from the heart of agape love for God. Our motives need to be a love for God. We need to do good works for God from the heart of agape love for God. Our motives need to be love for God. If our motives for our work are to be seen of men, our works will not survive the judgment. Think of the Pharisees in the New Testament. They made a big deal when they gave money. They made sure there was a big crowd around them so that people could see that they were giving money. And it didn't impress the Lord, did it? What impressed the Lord was the way with the two mites who gave it all. And how about the big prayers that they would make? You know, it was a performance of prayer. It wasn't a prayer from the heart. So they might have got some accolades from man. They didn't get nothing. Are not going to be rewarded by God. If you seek the praise of man, you will not get the reward from God. It'll all burn up. It'll all be wood, hay, and stubble because you already got your reward on earth. Don't expect to be rewarded on earth and in heaven. You may get, it's all about motive. Okay? It's motive, attitude, effort. If our motive is from the heart, then God will reward us. Number six on your sheet. Works done with the wrong motive are burned up in the fire. Works done with the wrong motive are burned up in the fire. 1 Corinthians 3:15. If any man's work shall be burned, it shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved as by fire. Good question to ask yourself is, why do I do what I do? What motivates you? Is it duty? Is it desire? What is it? What motivates you to serve Christ? Do I enjoy other people seeing what I do? Do I like being noticed? Do I like being recognized for serving God? Do I love the praise of men no more than the praise of God? Or do I serve out of a heart of love for God and out of a heart of love for others? Because we have a sin nature, sometimes our motives can be wrong. The Holy Spirit can point this out in our heart. And we can ask God to help us serve with the right motive. And that's one of the benefits of the Holy Spirit is he can bring correction. But if we're not in tune, we're not going to hear the instruction, therefore we won't abide by the instruction. So every once in a while, we just got to pray and ask God, as the Holy Spirit reveal to me the things in my life that are not pleasing to you. And maybe that, and be prepared, okay? But then listen and respond properly. You know, correction is the key. Read the book of Proverbs. The wise man can take correction. Proud man, he don't take correction very well. But a wise man takes correction. He wants to do a good job. You want to do a good job for the Lord? You want to serve God out of a heart of love? Do you want to be excited about standing before the judgment seat of God? I know it's going to be an awesome thing. It's going to be a nervous thing, but we should look forward to it more than we should fear it. And we won't if we don't serve God properly. If we don't understand the Bible, and if we don't incorporate the Bible truths into our life, we're going to be very uncomfortable at the judgment seat of Christ. We need to serve the Lord out of a heart of love. I have three mentors in my spiritual life. The Star, Pastor Angel, my good friend Jack Lewis. Now, I spent more time with Jack Lewis than anybody in this church. I mean, Jack served in the bus ministry, working on the buses every Saturday, just about every Saturday for 23 years. And those of you who knew Jack was a quiet man. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of building maintenance. He did a lot of bus maintenance. He was a very gifted man. I don't know how he did it, but he maintained a fleet of buses out of the trunk of his car.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. He had nothing else. No building, no power tools, no shop, no garage, no concrete floor. He had a piece of cardboard he laid underneath the buses. And he laid because of the gravel, and that's what he laid on when he worked on the bus. And I, as God is my witness, Jack could do anything. Just give him some time. He'd figure it out. He was amazing. I told Jack he could do something one time. And he proved me wrong. Jack, you can't do that. I said, we gotta hire this out. We gotta send this down to somebody that's got power tools, that got the right tools to get this thing done. 3 days later, he came to me and he had it done. 23 years, Jack said, one time, I can't do this. Because he needed fingers on both hands. That's all he needed. He just needed another couple fingers, and he could have done it, but he couldn't. Because he couldn't reach it with both hands. So I helped him. But think about that. So here's my point. It was Jack Lewis that taught me, by example, how to serve the Lord out of a heart of love. Jack loved the Lord. Jack loved the bus ministry. You know why? Because his daughters rode the bus to church and got saved. Because his daughters rode the bus, the pastor came and visited his wife. She got saved. Because Dorothy got saved, Jack went to church the next day to watch her get baptized. And Jack got saved.
Wow.
And the next Saturday, 6 days later, Jack was serving in the bus ministry until he could no longer serve. And Jack did this a lot. Because I worked with Jack. And I would talk to the buses. I would beat on the buses with big hammers. I didn't cuss at the buses, okay? I would yell at the buses. I would be angry with the buses. And I would call in names. Jack would just shake his head. And he never sought the praise of man. He went about his work for the Lord quietly and faithfully for over 40 years. See, Jack taught me how to serve the Lord out of a heart of love. Okay. You talked about Jack last week, I know. You know why? Because on Tuesday, 8 years ago, Jack went to heaven. And, in fact, I was talking about Jack yesterday. So, Scott, I'm getting kind of old for this kind of nonsense. And he agreed, but anyway, here's what I thought. I thought, what would Jack say? Now, this is not what Jack said. Jack would never say this. This is how Jack challenges me today. Now, you have to picture a man in his 70s with no leg, four fingers missing on his right hand, dementia, can't drive. His wife brings him to the church on Saturday. He does everything that he can possibly do with his brain is limited to him, not his body. Okay? And if all he can do is sweep the buses and scrape gum up the floor, that's what he does. Here's how Jack stopped me yesterday. Put your mind in and get back to work. That's how Jack motivates me today. Not because he ever talked to me like that, because his example and how he did not give up the work that for God until his body would not allow him to come. I remember Mrs. Lewis sitting in the car in the last days that he came, watching him go from bus to bus. And if he took too long, she would drive up, make sure that he was okay. But see, that's how I want to go. See, I hope there's someone in your life that's like that, that has given you a living example of a servant of God that does it for the right motives, that does it with the right attitude, and does it with the right effort. I don't know how much effort it took for Jack to do what he did, because really, he made it look easy. Okay. Some works will survive the judgment. Gold, silver, precious stone. Works that are pleasing to God will withstand the judgment. Number seven on your list. God only knows when we serve. He also knows how we serve. God not only knows when we serve, he also knows how we serve. When we serve God, we should always do our best. Colossians 3:23-24, and whatsoever ye do it heartily, is unto the Lord and not unto man, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance if ye serve the Lord Christ. Number eight on your list, works that survive the judgment will lead to reward. Works that survive the judgment will lead to reward. 1 Corinthians 3:14, if any man's work abide what he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. It always pays to serve the Lord. It pays now and it pays in eternity. You know, there was a great sermon, Payday Someday, that was directed toward the lost to bring conviction and conversion. But think of the message to the saved, Payday Someday. Someday we will stand before the Lord and we will receive the reward that is due us for our time, our effort, our attitude, and our motive. You know, don't ever think that God does not see what you're doing, that God doesn't know what you're doing, that God doesn't know the motivation behind what you're doing, and that you will never be, that you're doing for nothing, because you're not. Any work for the Lord will be rewarded in heaven if the proper motive is there, but also God will reward you on earth for the blessing that you are in the service that you do, whether it's noticed or unnoticed. God doesn't miss a thing. When you get your prayer list out, that we get on Wednesday nights, and you pray over that, God notices. That's the work of the ministry. That's why we have a prayer list. People need prayer. How many times did the missionary say the other day, I'd rather have your prayers than your money, Brother Shigalis? Because that's how important prayers are. So praying is a ministry that we can be rewarded with if it's for the right motive and the right effort. Let's see, that's number eight. Those who show hospitality to God's people will receive a reward. We know that in Matthew chapter 10, the Bible says that you will be rewarded for a simply giving someone a cup of water. So it doesn't matter how big the work is. God said if you just give someone a drink of water, you'll be rewarded. Those who stand during hard times of persecution will be rewarded. Luke chapter 6, verse 22-23. Those who do their best for the Lord will receive a reward. We talked about that earlier, Colossians 3:23-24. Whatsoever you do it heartily unto the Lord. Now, Jesus will reward with crowns. Here's number nine in your book. The Bible speaks of a crown of rejoicing. This is the soul winner's crown. The Bible speaks of a crown of rejoicing. This is the soul winner's crown. 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Therefore, my beloved brethren, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. There is a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. The crown is a reward for everyone who faithfully watches and prays for Jesus to return. There is a crown of life, which will be rewarded to those who endure temptation and are martyred for the faith, James 1, 12. There is a crown called the crown of glory, which is a reward for pastors who give their lives to be an example to the flock. 1 Peter 5, verses 2 through 4. We believe that there is a crown called the incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9:25. And every man that straight for the mastery is temperate in all things, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Number 10 on your sheet. This is a reward for those who learn to keep their body in subjection. This is for those who do not cave in to the lusts of the flesh. The faithful servants who learn to cleanse themselves from the pleasures of the world so that they can serve the Lord will receive this reward. So, we should all be able to win that crown, the incorruptible crown, if we try to live for the Lord and not for the flesh. In order to serve the Lord right, you have to be right to serve right. You have to have the right heart, you have to have a good mind, you have to have the right attitude, you have to have the right desire. Go down this verse. It's like a prayer for the right attitude so that I can serve right. It's Psalms 19:14. Psalms 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, the word of my strength and my redeemer." If we think about the right things, then we'll do the right things. If we allow the right things to come in through our eye gates and our ear gates, then our heart will be right. So if our heart is right, and we have a desire to do right, then our service for the Lord will be right. But it's all predicated on two things. We have to serve God in His strength, not ours. We have to have a desire to serve God from the heart, with His strength and with His power. And we have to realize the love of God. You know that God loves everybody. We look at people and we say, that person can't be saved, but God loves them. And Jesus died for them and bore His sins in their body. What right do we have to say they can't be saved or they won't be saved? They're not willing to listen. We have to try, right? We can't limit the gospel because of our own thoughts. The second thing I want to say is Psalms 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. I drove a bus for 33 years, and the bus ministry can be, when you're working with bus kids, whether you're a bus kid Sunday school teacher, or bus driver, bus worker, bus captain, it can be very discouraging, it can be very disappointing, it can be very disheartening, but it's a great work. So I wrote that above the door in my bus. I was 132, serve the Lord with gladness. And every time I got off my bus, I would read that. And it helped me in the bus ministry. One of the most discouraging things for me in the jail ministry is to see my bus kids, Sunday school kids in jail. But it's another opportunity to continue to minister to them. So how are you going to look at it? God puts you where you are for a reason. God gives you contact with people for a reason. You can be a blessing to them now, but you may be able to be a blessing to them down the road, even if they go in the wrong direction. So I guess what I'm saying is, don't give up. The work that you're doing is important. The work that you're doing is eternal. God's work is the best work that we can do, and it deserves our best effort. Let's pray. And Father, we do thank you for this lesson. We pray, God, that you continue to work in our hearts to challenge and inspire and help us to do the work with the right motive, the right effort, with that heart of love. And we pray, God, that you would use us, and you would see souls saved and lives changed, and that your hand of blessing would continue to be upon us, encourage and strength and challenge and help. We ask, God, that you bless service Paul, be with our pastor, open our hearts, bring the power of the Holy Spirit, and do a work in us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.